Well, listen to David, will you, with that kind of a background? This is the psalm. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He's speaking right out of his heart, friends, as he leaves Jerusalem. And he says, many are they who say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. God has forsaken him, but God hasn't. And thank God today, friends, when somebody says to me, I can't understand how God would put up with a man like David, I always feel like saying to a person like that, well, if God will put up with David, maybe he'll put up with you and he'll put up with me. Thank God he's this kind of a God, friends, that he puts up with folk like this and will forgive them when they come to him. But that didn't mean David didn't pay for his sin. He sure did. And so he says, many are they who say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. And then we have this word Selah. Now, what does the word Selah mean? Well, there's been a great deal of discussion as just what Selah really means. It occurs about 71 times in the Psalms. I believe all the Psalms were set to music and to be played by an orchestra and is sung by a great choir. I think that Jerusalem became famous throughout the world. People came there to hear the music of singing these psalms. And I think this probably was a musical rest. And I think it was a pause, some kind of a pause, probably a musical pause. And I personally think for you and me, that is, if you're just a common sort of a layman that doesn't understand music, it means stop, look, and listen. That's what you used to have at railroad crossings. You remember the old cross that was there? Stop, look, and listen. I remember as a boy when my dad would drive a buggy into Snyder, Texas, sitting in the buggy, we stopped at the railroad crossing. There wasn't but one, of course, and I don't think it was a train in 10 miles of the place, but we always stopped. Stop, look, and listen. And a great many folk today, when they come to the Word of God, ought to do a lot of stopping, looking, and listening. And that's what we have here. Now, listen to David. This probably ends the first stanza. And now he says, I lay down and slept, I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Morning psalm, as this has been called. And I'm glad the New Scofield Bible has put that at the top here of this psalm, a morning psalm. This is a good one to start the day with. In spite of all of the problem and trouble, David trusted the Lord. He could sleep at night. He wasn't able to get hold of an aspirin tablet or any of these other miracle drugs that can put you to sleep today. But he just trusted the Lord and pillowed his head on the promises of God. And he went to sleep. And he says, I awake, for the Lord sustained me. And he says, I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Why, though the whole world be against him, David said, I'm not going to be afraid. Someone said to Cromwell, he's considered, by the way, the bravest man that ever lived. They said, what is the explanation of your bravery? Well, he says, if there is any bravery in my conduct, it's because, he says, I fear God, and therefore I have no man to fear. Martin Luther also took that position. And if there was more fear of God, there would be less of this licking the boots of men today. There's some men that are going around with their tongues black. They spend their time licking other men's shoes. You know why? Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. The thing that'll give you courage is to fear God, and then you'll have no other man to fear at all. And so this man said, David, there might be 10,000. I'm not afraid of them. Now listen to him, verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. And that's where it hurts, on the cheekbone. If you ever get hit there, it'll really knock you out. And so David knew about that. He says his enemies had been smitten on the cheekbone. He says, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Not able to bite him anymore. Now listen to him here. He says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And this is a great scripture. Actually, the word belonging is not here. Salvation unto the Lord. The Lord is the author of salvation. David never thought salvation is a coin you could put in your pocket and lose. He never thought it was something he'd have to work out. Salvation was the gift of God. Salvation's unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And then this wonderful word here of Selah. And you'll notice that in this psalm he said some wonderful things about God. Back in verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Did you notice that? And then the next thing, you're my glory. And then he says, you're the uplifter of my head. Now, as a shield, why, he covers those that are his own. We're told to take today the shield of faith as believers. And David knew something about what the shield would do, and he'd used it. And the glory, that's his belief in the presence of God. For the cloud of glory, you remember, was for Israel. It was a visible sign of the presence of God in his midst. Now, we walk today by faith, and the glory of God's with us, friend. He makes himself real to those that are his own today. And then he calls himself the uplifter of his head. And how could that be? Well, he'd promised to build David a house and give him a blessing and a glory and a kingdom. And he says, he's going to uplift my head. And today, my friend, we may be down, but he's going to lift us up. This is a marvelous psalm, is it not?